Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio. Good Wednesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio. See, this cold is affecting me in bizarre ways. Tony D, Ron Culver with you. Television sports is about to be changed. We saw this day coming. If you've been paying attention to the industry, you know that one of the things that's affecting cable and affecting the way sports is televised in terms of broadcast rights, cord cutting is really starting to get its way into the way we absorb sports, because programmers, you know, bundle packages, including ESPN, you pay for that even if you don't want the channel. Now, a lot of people have gone to cord cutting, but because there are so many entertainment options out there, they find themselves going, well, I got this subscription and this subscription and this subscription and this subscription, and, you know, and I'm not really saving all that much in terms of my entertaining dollars, but if I'm not a sports fan, I don't get to pay $8, $9 a month, whatever it is, for ESPN and some of the other sports channels. Well, that could change, because in Maine, they just passed a law that will allow citizens of that state to have a la carte cable packages. Now, that's a big deal, because it allows people to still have cable without having to pay for things that they don't want. Now, you and I might want, be willing, more than willing, to pay for ESPN, Fox, and all these other television programs that gives us 17 college basketball games a night, and all the soccer that we want to watch, and some NBA that we want to watch, all of those things. But there's a lot of people who don't want that. There's a lot of people who don't want that. And when that money escapes from the pile that these companies get to use to build broadcasting rights, well, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to generate that revenue through streaming and whatnot. We might end up, and this might be years away, where we are starting to see a more pay-per-view model when it comes to sports, where you might not pay $6 because the pool isn't that large. You might have to pay $20, $25 a month to secure college basketball on Monday nights, or Big East Tuesdays, or whatever they're called these days. That might be coming down the line as more and more people get out of the revenue pool for how these companies buy these rights in the first place. We've all been wondering when this bubble of media rights versus revenue for these sports leagues pops. Well, this could be starting to pop.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. I thought that was an interesting news piece, that you can get a la carte cable now.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
But like what you said,
I should say in Maine right now.
But it is concerning, because if no one's ordering ESPN, that price is going to go up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now listen, my wife and I have gone back and forth on the cost, on the cord cutting, because we don't watch a lot of cable, but the stuff I like, the stuff I need, I don't want to try to find it in other places. I'm an old school guy. I know where my basketball is. I know where my sports are. I don't want to be like, oh, is that on Hulu, or is that on this, or that? You know, maybe one day I'll try it. But one thing I've noticed with two teenagers is neither one of them watches TV.
I know. Same here.
Like, it's very weird. Like my son, I always tease my son. I'm like, do you even know what's on television? He goes, no, I don't know what's on TV. And only when I tell him there's a show that's good, he'll go, well, I'll binge watch it on Netflix, but I'm not sitting down every Tuesday night at 7 to watch whatever.
And that's the thing. I mean, I feel like it's maybe our generation is the last generation to really invest in cable television.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it was, it's, I haven't, I've tried to figure out how to get rid of it. Like, I want to save money, but it's at the same time, because, you know, like, listen, I go, hey, why am I paying $200 for cable when I only use like six stations?
Exactly.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. And like the other day I ordered a movie, a pay-per-view movie. And I'm watching it and I'm like, it kept skipping. It was like, oof, it didn't download correctly. And I'm like, I can't watch this. I'm like, this is real. And I called the cable company. I was so mad. I was like, I can't watch this. It was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I'm like, man, okay. I really wanted to see this. So they fixed it and I got to see it. But I was like, oh, this is such a hassle.
Did they provide you a coupon?
Yeah, no. You know what she did?
Take the movie off.
She reset the box from her computer.
Scary.
I know, right? So I said, she goes,
she goes,
your account number, please. And I gave her my account number. She goes, and then she gave me my address. Right. She goes, is this where you live? I go, yeah. She goes, okay, hold on 1 second. Okay. I'm going to be resetting your box now. You will not be getting service for a few minutes. Is that okay? Yeah, that's fine. And then it started to hit me. She has access to my box, my cable box, from where she's sitting, wherever she's sitting in the globe. I don't know where I just called.
She's stealing your cable?
I know. And I was, she was like,
isn't that
okay,
a crime?
Reset the box.
Hey, you know, we keep
should
trying,
work now.
We keep going down the same road. My wife just begs me. She's like, you know, we got to get rid of cable. I mean, it's a useless bill that we have. I mean, I don't know why we have it. But at the same time, I'm just like you. It's like, I like the convenience of it.
Yeah.
I like being able to put on a remote and just turn it to the channel and just go, there you go. I don't want, you know, I don't have to go through Hulu or Netflix or anything and just try to find the you know, station I'm looking for.
That's exactly right. Now listen, I know like Hulu has been doing, we got live sports now and good for them. And I know that there
and
are
that's
really
always been
options.
My argument. That's always been my argument. It's like, nah, you know, I need to keep it because, you know, there's no one carries live sports. Well, yeah, you have almost everyone carrying live sports.
I think for me, you're right. It's just a convenience thing. Like if I say, oh, you know what's good on tonight? I think the Lakers are playing the Bucks. And I think it's on TNT. Okay, now where do I go to get that on the list of different subscriptions that I've made? Now that I've gotten rid of my cable company, if I want to see that, who has that? Okay, so the AFC Championship game is on which one of these providers, right?
But then, how many different streaming services do you subscribe to then?
Right. That's where people go, ah, screw it. If my cable bill is $150, right, a month or whatever it is, and all my subscriptions are, all of them are about $80. Yeah, I'm saving money, but I'm losing the convenience, right? Or if it's $100, I'm saving money, but I'm losing the convenience.
How much is my time worth now shuffling through? Right. Do I want to watch Disney Plus or Hulu or ESPN Plus or CBS Plus? They're all pluses, by the way. Have you ever noticed that?
It is. It's all a plus. But the larger issue is, again, okay, so then what happens to the sports bubble, right? This is something that's been kind of bantied about for a number of years, so this is not a new thought, but what happens to the sports bubble? So if I'm a company and I've agreed to pay $1.2 billion for the NFL over the next 5 years, whatever it is, and I can't generate that kind of revenue through advertising. The only way I was able to generate that revenue is because I had 100 million people paying me $7 a month through their cable subscription, even though 100 million people don't watch my product. They were forced to pay that amount because they wanted cable. So I get this revenue every month. It builds up. I'm able to pay this money out to these media rights. What happens when every single television company is now seeing their revenue decrease? How do the revenue rights go, and where does that do for future salaries for players? Right? How does it all correlate? Right? Because I've always said that the bubble has got to burst at some point. Nothing goes on into infinity. Like, you're not going to see $1 billion a year contract for baseball. Eventually, somebody's going to go, no, that's too much money. We're not going down that road. Or maybe not. But the revenue that was generated from media rights was always something that always kicked in, that really helped these owners of these professional teams deal with the costs of doing business in terms of player salaries. That money would increase because these media companies would fight for the rights. That means they would make out the best. I mean, look at the NFL, for example. They're on, what, four networks, right? Four networks are paying them money and just to broadcast their games. So they're, I mean, the revenue is incredible. But what if that revenue is not sustainable? What if you reach a point where Fox can't pay out anymore? They can't do the same deal 5 years ago that they can do today because revenue is down. So they got to hit advertisers. Advertisers may go, look, I want to be a part of the NFL too, but holy cow, is that too much money? That is way more than what you've charged us in the past. And like any other business, we have a budget. We don't have unlimited money. I can't spend $1 billion on a Super Bowl commercial, right? I may have a lot of money, but I cannot do that. So where is it heading? Now this, I think this is a long drawn out play. This is not something that's quick and it's overnight. And I know a lot of people who have been following this story a lot closer than I have projected doom and gloom in the next 2 years. I don't think that's occurring. I think it's going to be slow. It's a trickle, but eventually you're going to have these organizations go negotiate with the NFL and say, well, listen, we can't pay $1.2 billion, but we can pay $900 million. And we'll have to figure it out. We'll have to figure out the rest. So I'm sure the sports leagues are aware and the television companies are aware, but it's just an interesting way to look about how we consume it. But, you know, I'm old school. I've been saying this forever. I'm set in my ways. I just like the way things are. But even I have gone down the road of thinking, oh, maybe I should start looking at this differently. You know, I got a Fire Stick on my TV now. It's just like click, 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 click. So, you know, you still can get sports. It's just where you get them and how you get them. If you do a little diligence, you can probably figure it out. Michael on Twitter, I've been using YouTube TV for $50 a month just for sports. It provides a really good service. Plus, I split the account with the neighbors, so the costs are in half. It allows 4 devices. Oh, really? Okay, there you go. That's not bad.
That's another one, YouTube TV.
YouTube TV. Forgot about them.
Crazy.
Forgot about them. It's nuts. But I do find it amazing that in pretty much a generation, I mean, I went from begging my parents to get home at a certain time so I can watch Knight Rider because I didn't want to miss it, to my kids not even knowing what's on television. And if they did find something interesting on TV, they'll just watch it later on demand. Like literally, I can remember being a kid and if I missed the A-Team and all my friends were talking about it the next day, you know how I had to watch that episode? Like, so if I got to school and they were like, man, did you see the A-Team last night? Man, BA did this thing and I was like on the floor. It was so great. I would have to wait till the summer. Remember you had to wait for reruns? And you'd be like, ugh, reruns, summertime. Well, then I didn't get to share it with my friends at school. And then I had to look to see which episode I missed. So I'd have to go to the TV guide and be like, oh, the A-Team tries to help a woman who lost her child. And then you'd go, okay, let me circle that. Let me see if I remember. And then in the summertime, you'd go through every single TV guide. The A-Team tries to help a woman who lost her child. Oh, that's the one I missed back in February. Make sure I have that locked in. And then, of course, the VCR came out and made life a little easier. But, you know, that wasn't until I was a little older. So... But still, when the VCR came out, I thought that was magic. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, got to record your program.
It's like, you mean to tell me I can record shows now?
And you mean I can set it and it'll record while I'm away?
I can walk away. There were three inventions that came about in my lifetime where I didn't understand the technology. Now that I do, it makes me look stupid, but I'm willing to share this anyway. There were three pieces of technology that as I was growing up that I could not figure out how they did this, and I just assumed it was some warlock that was creating this. First one was the VCR. I had no idea how a tape would film something on television. It seemed ridiculous to me. And here's the deal. I played with cassette tapes all the time, and I knew how that worked, but I didn't understand how you could do it with a television show. That seemed weird. The second one, and this really blew my mind, and if you're of a certain age, maybe you felt the same way. I hope you did, because I don't want to feel alone in this. The first time I saw caller ID, I freaked out. My friend's mother had it, and I remember looking. She had a little box, and when the telephone rang, it showed you who it was. It didn't show you what the number was. It showed you that, but it also told you the name of the person whose account that belonged to. And I could not believe this existed.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a phone ring. Nobody knew who it was. Nobody knew who was on the other end. It could be a sad news. Some relative may have passed away, or it could be good news. You got the job.
See, I wasn't too shocked by caller ID because I had a pager. No, oh, okay. Essentially kind of the same thing. But one that I still to this day can't wrap my head around because of the timing. But it was the first time I realized that my house had a phone, basically.
Oh.
You know? But I used to be able to dial my cousin who lived right around the corner. He and I grew up. We were best friends growing up. He was a year younger than me. He lived literally the next street over from me. I used to be able to dial 2 on my number, and it would automatically call him.
Oh, like it was set?
Yeah.
It was set to like a...
It was a preset number.
Preset number, yeah.
But I'm looking back on it, like, how did it know that I hit 2 and I wasn't going to hit other numbers?
Right, sure. Yeah. That's kind of wild. The third one that I was fascinated by was the first time I used GPS.
Yeah.
The first time I went, wow, this is weird.
Like, I didn't trust it.
Like, yeah, it knows where I am. It knows where I, you know, like, the weird part to me was, I remember I was on a road trip with Air Force basketball, and I had a car that had GPS, and I never had it before. Never even seen it. And I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, because they were playing Wake Forest. And I used to wear a suit to do the play-by-play, and I remember I forgot my belt. And I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot my belt. So I needed to find a store. And my friend on the trip who worked for Air Force, he said, you know, if you go into the GPS, you can type in Walmart or Target, and it will just take you to the – it will show you where the nearest store is. And I went, get out! That really? And he goes, yeah, do it. Trust me. So instead of asking, like, the desk clerk, like, hey, where's the nearest store? Oh, it's 2 miles this way, 1 mile this way. It's right down. He goes, seriously, just go in, press Walmart, hit enter. He goes, it'll show you all the Walmarts within the area, and just pick the one that's closest to you, and it will just take the car. You could just drive to that location. And I freaked out. I was so impressed by this technology. I had no clue it could do that, and I was amazed.
When I think back on it, I'm blown away at the fact that I used to be able to get around. I drove across the country using nothing but a Thomas Guide and TripTix from
AAA.
Oh,
no kidding, right? The paper used to flip over once you've accomplished your goal.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm supposed to be on this highway for 62 miles, and then rip, I'm done with that. What do I do now? Take the exit, all right, rip, I just did that. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But
oh, that was great.
But isn't it amazing that that's how we got around?
That's how we got around.
Like nowadays, I look back and I'm like, man, I was pretty good.
That's pretty good at that.
I could have been a navigator.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Coming up, LeBron has a message for Rob Manfred about how he's got to get his sport in line. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Reward bonus points on all sale items, like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store, and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free, but hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I've been sucking down these cough drops during breaks, and now I'm starting to get like my stomach is like, no more, no, stop. They're flavored nice. They're strawberry cream.
Yeah, don't stop. Keep going, man.
But man, like, my stomach is like, okay, we've had enough cough drops. We're done. The medicine is really making me nauseous. By the way, I'm going to make this a Twitter question because Michael actually got the ball rolling. So if you're out there on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, let's do something fun. What technology has occurred in your lifetime where you swear it was done by a witch or a warlock? At the time you saw it, you were so amazed. You're like, I don't know how in the hell they do this. This has got to be real magic. Michael on Twitter, I've been amazed with the accuracy of ATM machines. I've been getting money out of an ATM machine for 35 years, and it's never made an error. I've never been shorted or given more than requested. I've never been shorted or given more than requested either. That is so true. I've never
It's kind of disappointing because you read those stories sometimes that the guy was just walking by an ATM machine, and then the ATM machine just started spitting money out of him.
Right.
Where was I?
Never happens.
I need to be there.
Like, if I go to an ATM machine and I go, I need $120, I get $120. I never get $140, or I never get $80, and I have to go into the bank.
Yeah, never had to complain.
Right. Never. That is so true. You're absolutely right. So again, what technology has made you lose your mind? Because I brought that up with VCR and GPS, and what was my other one? Oh, caller ID.
Caller ID.
See, what happens is, and then when you realize how the technology works, it sort of takes the fun out of it. Like when somebody explained to me caller ID, they're like, yeah, it's all digital. They know where that phone call's coming from. That's how you're connected. And I'm like, I know, but it's better when I thought it was some witch or warlock putting it together. That's more fun for me.
Yeah, as someone who grew up with the rise of computers and the rise of the internet. I mean, I can remember what life was like before internet.
Right.
Having I literally had a set of encyclopedias in my house in order to do reports.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly right.
You know, being able to hold a computer in the palm of your hand is pretty incredible.
Pretty amazing. But
you know,
when you
being able to play video games in the palm of your hand, I mean, just name it, download any game you want.
But were you amazed by that given the trajectory of the medium? Meaning,
I think the first iPhone I had, I didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
And I remember, I love telling this story because I remember a long, long time ago, this would be actually before I had an iPhone, I saw a flip phone, and a guy asked me if I wanted to pay $25 extra a month for unlimited texting.
Oh.
And I remember saying to him, like, that's a waste of money because I send about 5 texts a month.
Ha, that's funny.
And at that time I did, because that was that T9 crap that where you had to cycle through every single letter and number to get to the one that you wanted. I was like, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to pick up the phone and call. Why am I going to sit there and go, A, B, C, C? Okay, and I finally got to C. Oh, well, man, I went too far. I got to start over.
Yeah.
It was annoying.
But no, I'd
be lucky if I send like 5 texts an hour.
I remember my producer and I from Colorado Springs, we went to Tucson for a week for spring training. And we were in the hotel room and he was texting all the time. I mean, all the time. He was texting guests. He was texting the station. He was texting his girlfriend. He was texting his parents. Everything. And I remember going, why don't you just call? It doesn't make any – I remember telling him, I'm like, that's so lazy. Why don't you just call? And he goes, no, man, this is much easier. And I go, please. I said, you kids just don't want to pick up the phone and call somebody. That's ridiculous. I said, look, I call my wife. I tell her I'm fine, whatever. Now all I do is text. He was right. I would eventually get sucked into that world. He was absolutely right back then. And that was 2008. So, you know, it didn't take very long for me to dive into that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the technology that still has me mind blown.
Well, it's hard now because you're right. With the computer in your hands, it's hard for you to see something and go, this is unfathomable how this is done.
I know, and I don't want to make it food related, but a lot of the innovations coming
out
with new ways to cook, like an air fryer, you can like have crispy french fries
in your house
and no oil. That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. So, you know, I look at our medium and I tell people all the time, listen, I used to edit audio with a razor blade and a crayon with tape. That's how I used to edit. Like if I wanted to create a really cool feature where I had like back-to-back play-by-play cuts with music underneath it and a soundbite of a coach and it's like this like minute and a half package, I used to have to take tape. I used to have to make a mark. I used to have to put a razor blade on it. I used to slice it. I have to put the tape together. I used to tape that. The first time I saw a digital audio editing machine, it required its own board. Like they literally tore out our production room in our radio station and put in a brand new board and a computer and 2 computers. And the guy who was the production director had to go to Dallas for 3 days to take a class on how it worked and what to do with it. This was like in the early 90s. This was like 93, 94. So, you know, now it's like you can do it on your phone. You can make movies on your phone. So it's, yeah. So you've seen the progression of technology, but you're right. I think it's harder today to be impressed with something that just pops, like even a self-driving car. Like when you see a self-driving car, you don't go, oh my God, this is sorcery. You go, no, I kind of get it. I know. I've been sort of slowly over time, I've been seeing the progress of AI. I've seen this in action.
The sorcery part to a self-driving car is the driver allowing the car to go.
Right.
I'm looking at him like, oh, God, you have faith.
I got to think that at some point, if I'm alive to really see the self-driving car completely implemented, where people, I think the first time I am in one, it is my heart is going to go 200 beats a minute. The entire time, all the way to my destination. I am really going to be nervous. And then after a while, I'm sure it'll be like old hat. Good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up next. SB Nation Radio, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with 2 N's, please. As we cruise on a Wednesday on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Wednesday as we continue along on SB Nation AM. You know, I've got this cold. I've been battling a little bit for the last couple days, so I need to feel good. So the good of the day is...
Wendy's Ruthlessness on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about their social media guy. Whoever's in charge of the social media at Wendy's is fantastic. This is good mixed with a little bit of dumb, I guess you would say.
Okay.
Burger King is trying out a new sandwich in New Zealand.
Okay.
That is just nothing but French fries.
Ooh, so is it French fries shaped like a patty?
No. It's French fries.
In a burger.
On a bun.
On a bun, that's
with ketchup and mayo and whatever condiments they put on there.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Really?
So Wendy's, being the social media go-to roaster as much as you want, simply tweeted out, when literally anything would be better on a bun than their beef.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yeah.
Good job.
Then, like, people were chiming in, like, you know, please tell me this is a joke. And they're like, nah, their whole restaurant is.
Oh, wow. Wow. Isn't Burger King the one that came up with the plant-based burger, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness.
That
good
you
for
can't
Wendy's.
Tell the difference between that and real beef.
Yeah. That's
it probably
great.
Has real beef. But, I mean, that's... You gotta love Wendy's, right?
Yeah, because listen, this country needs a good burger war. Like, we used to have it with McDonald's and Burger King. And we used to have the cola wars. I like it when companies go at each other a little bit. You know, for the all-American buck.
I noticed this the other day, okay? There was a new Pepsi commercial for Pepsi Zero. And it's they're holding a Coke can. And it's a song is like, I want to... What is it? I want to
teach the world security.
No, I want to paint it black.
Okay.
I see a red door and I want to paint it black.
Right.
And that song's playing in the background and they're like, you know, it's a red Coke can and a red background and they're peeling it off and then everything's changing to black in the background. And
oh,
it's
that's
kind of
cool.
Pepsi Zero can.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I mean, that's Coke, your move.
It's one thing in advertising when you say, look, try our product. It's better than our competition, right? Just simple. We're better. It's another thing when you say, try our product because my competition stinks. It's awful. You don't want to be caught dead with that. That's the good, fun advertising. Like, that's neat that Wendy's is still going, look, our competition, their burgers are terrible. Ours are great. Theirs are terrible. And ours are awesome. Rather than, you have a choice, America. We hope you choose us. That's all. No, I like this. This is good. This is healthy. Like, when I was a kid, it was Coke and Pepsi, right? Remember the Pepsi challenge? Like, if you were a real Coke person, you're like, I love Coke. You know, remember when Coke switched to New Coke? You're right, they had that in 1985, they switched to New Coke. They said people would call in to complain about it, but also say they hadn't drank soda in like 20 years. They're like, I can't drink soda anymore, but I'm really mad you switched the formula. And they're like, why are you mad? You don't drink soda anymore. They're like, it just doesn't matter. You can't switch the formula.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Who cares about me? I care about everybody else. That's brand loyalty. And the Pepsi challenge was take that brand loyalty and do a blind taste test and try it. See which one you like. And it worked. It was a big, very successful campaign. So this is sort of in that same vein. Let's pick on the competition. Let's remind people that not only is our product better, but our competition is, they stink. They're terrible. That's good. That's healthy. I like that story. Now the more I'm talking about it, the more I like it. Good for Wendy's. All right, so what's the bad of the day then?
I actually have two bads of the day.
Oh, two bads.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. I know you wanted to feel good, but...
Now the good is good, but it's not double good
to
make up for
good.
These two bad stories.
Yeah, no. The first bad is that the coronavirus... is rearing its ugly head once again. You know, yesterday we talked about how robbers stole toilet paper.
That's right.
Because it's a high demand for toilet paper. So, you know, they're selling toilet paper or bootleg toilet paper like bootleg cartons of cigarettes.
It's amazing.
Like Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop. The coronavirus now could be causing a shortage of iPhones and Nintendo gaming systems.
Because of the work in China, right?
Yep.
I mean, they've
reopened the facilities, but officials with those companies, respectively, are saying, you know, revamping or getting it going is taking a lot longer than they anticipated.
How scary is it to be in that area and get sick? You know, like when you start feeling under the weather and you just realize I'm right at ground zero of all this.
Yeah.
You know,
I would stay away. I'm not going. I mean, we're starting to cancel trips there.
Yeah.
I mean, people are canceling trips. I mean, you know, events are coming into question. I can't remember the last one I saw. It was like there was some sporting event planning on going to China, and they're like, "Yeah, no, we're gonna stay away." I think it might have been like some European soccer clubs doing an Asian tour, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna skip that place."
Yeah, they've closed the Disney park in Shanghai.
Yeah,
that's closed for a couple of months.
So, I mean, if you were anticipating buying that new iPhone 11, you might have to wait.
Yeah, you might have to wait as well.
Because there aren't going to be any. I mean, imagine if this was around Christmas time. This would be devastating, wouldn't it?
Sure, I would think so.
Everybody wants the new stuff.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. What's the second bet of the day?
Skynet alert.
Another Skynet alert. Okay, I'm good with this.
I'm just going to play this for you real quick, okay?
All right. I just want your first lay. I'm back to the feel my pain. She got a crew on top of my chain. Wasted in the street like a babe. You see the diamonds in the light of chase.
All right, well, that's Travis Scott.
Okay.
That actually, I'm sorry, that is not Travis Scott. That is an AI version of Travis Scott. Artificial intelligence created a Travis Scott song that actually sounds a little bit better than Travis Scott.
So wait, that the computer wrote those lyrics?
Why? I don't know if it wrote the lyrics, but that's the computer singing.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was okay. So oh
yeah.
Okay.
Keep going. You're on the right path now.
So the computer now can sound like, oh my God, I don't want to know.
I mean, we did this before where a computer can sound like
Joe Rogan. Right.
And did an incredible job. Now we have computers that are singing.
This is not good.
How soon until the computer puts in subliminal messages?
Now, here's the thing. Didn't Hollywood has always warned us about these with the invasion of the robots, when the robots are secretly in our society or the AI is you would see a scary moment where a computer would call like somebody to get them out of, like, "Hi, this is Officer John Smith from the LA Police Department. We need to come over and check your house for blah, blah, blah. Okay." And then it was really the robot all along who sounded like a familiar cop voice. And then they go in and they wreck havoc and people have to run for their lives. That's what Hollywood has always portrayed it as, that they could look like us and also sound like us.
Yeah, this is actually, I'm sorry, this isn't Travis Scott. This is Travis Bott.
Travis Bott.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is his debut single, Jack Park Canny Dope Man. And I love what this article says. Was created by a group of never seen Terminator 2.
Right.
A hole's called Space right. 150.
Well done. I'm telling you, this genie is going nowhere, man. It's out. People want to make this. They want to have this in our lives.
Yeah.
They know it's going to kill us all, but they don't care. They're like, "What do you want us to do? Bottle this technology up?" No. Because there's a radio host who thinks this is all witchcraft and sorcery, and we have to give it to him. There you go. So it's my fault. No, it's good. It's bad. It's really bad. You keep bringing these stories every now and then, and it just piles up my anxiety.
You know what I'm fearful of is that they seem to be popping up more and more every single day.
Yeah.
You know, every single day, I'm just cruising through, and I'm like, "Oh, look, another artificial intelligence story. Whoopee."
Right. So, and like I was saying earlier, I grew up with Knight Rider, where Kit was just as helpful as can be, right? But one of the episodes,
who's to say that it's not, but we kind of, you know, we kind of know like the darker side now. Like when we were growing up, we said, "Oh, robots are going to be helpful."
Right,
Look who we had to look towards. Rosie was a robot we all wanted.
She made food and cleaned the house and everything.
Exactly.
But I also remember the movie from the early 80s, Tron, with Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Was in Tron. The Master Control Program. Remember, the Master Control Program was bossing the boss around, right? Mm-hmm. Then he was like threatening the boss, like, do this or I'll release this or I'll make the stock market go or I'll launch nuclear weapons for no reason whatsoever. You better do this. Like, that's, yeah.
Or war games.
War games. That's Joshua. Another one. Was it Joshua?
Joshua.
Right? Do you want to play a game? And I'm like, wait, somebody just pulled the plug or something. Like, end this. He's going to kill us all. Why
and
aren't
then
you?
That gave birth to Terminator, where right. It was just robots just yeah. saying, you know, we're just going to take over the planet now. You guys, that's you right. humans had your fun. You guys did a good job for about 2,000 years. Now we're going to take over and, you know, bring us to the next level.
By the way, I blame war games. When I was younger, I wanted a modem so I could change my grade. I didn't know how
yeah,
I would do that.
That was me too.
I had no idea how it worked.
There's
but
another
I thought getting a modem,
right
I could
there.
Give myself all A's.
You know, yeah. was that possible? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know what? I wanted that piano.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, his whole setup. I was like, you know what? I need that in my life.
Yeah, a little cough here, a little, yeah.
Yep.
That was nice. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, and you knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were asked about Tom Brady.
Yes, they were, of course.
And, you know, apparently the two of them, the pair of them, buddies, Boston's kings, I guess, texted Tom Brady about whether or not he was coming back to the Patriots. Brady answered with a single emoji.
That must be, you must be at a level of Hollywood arrogance to think he would tell you and no one else.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like, just the fact, I mean, you know, they just happen to have Tom Brady's number. Like, hey, let's just ask him.
Yeah, let's just ask him. Well, it was a good shot. So, I mean, I would take it too if I was personal friends with him.
The single emoji that Tom Brady shared was the shoulder shrug.
Yep, good job.
And what this just reminds me of is, okay, you got two prominent Boston stars. We know that they love the Patriots. We know they love the Red Sox, Celtics, anything Boston. We know that these guys love. But this, again, is like just another way to bring Tom Brady offseason back into the conversation.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, it's, I just want it to be over. Can't March get here soon enough where...
Yeah, just tell us.
Where he's officially a free agent and then we just leave it at that?
It's got to be, 4 weeks from now? What, 15th of March is when
right.
it begins?
I mean, Drew Brees yesterday announces, you know, looking forward to a great 2020, go Saints or whatever like that. So it sounds like he's going back to the Saints or he'll be back with the Saints.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, that's just like a little pebble in a big, gigantic lake. What everyone's
yeah.
waiting for is where Brady's going to go.
Where is Brady going to go? How is he going to negotiate a deal with the Patriots or with somebody else? Does he want the teams to come to him? Will he be making the tour?
I mean, that set the precedent? Is it go Brady first, and then it's like, all right, from there, let's see where the dominoes go. We got
yeah.
We still potentially have Brees on the market. We have Rivers on the market. Is it Brady's got to go first, right?
Right. I think so. I think Brady begins the trickle down.
God.
Be interesting.
It's just
Philip
so
Rivers is next,
stupid.
All of that. So crazy. Crazy. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday here at SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. LeBron James calling out Rob Manfred. James is now stepping into the baseball world saying on Twitter, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I'm in sports. And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like uncontrollable about what I would do, could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Hashtag just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless of my own sport I play. Not bad. That's pretty cool. Okay, fine. LeBron, you've made your point. You know what I want, though? What do you want to have happen? LeBron, you're an athlete. LeBron, you compete for championships, right? Let's say you were cheated out of a championship. What would you want the NBA to do? What would you want Rob Manfred to do? So instead of just saying, fix it, Why don't you tell us how you would fix it? Give us an idea from an athlete perspective how you would go about doing this. Because as we've pointed out, it's not as easy as people are making it out to be. Right? There is a whole bunch of things in the collective bargaining agreement which LeBron understands from his point in the NBA. So when you say listen, yeah, Manfred's listening. I don't know what he can do. Like, he's already talked about stripping the title from the Astros, saying we're not going to do that. We're just not going to do that. Now, maybe his mind gets changed down the road and realizes we probably should do that. But does he want to? What are the ramifications of that? What are you saying to the general public if you do that? I mean, can championships just be taken away years after the fact with new information, or does it have to be found out at the moment? Like, it opens up a whole bunch of problems. Right? Like, what if somebody found out that the 1962 whoever, what if we find out that the Pittsburgh Pirates cheated against the Yankees and when Bill Mazeroski hit that home run? Do we go back 60 years and take that title away? How do we do this? I mean, it's easy right now in 2020 to be angry at something that happened in 2017. But what are the ramifications of taking a title away from a team? And when is the, you know, when is the statute of limitations done? Like, all right, if we don't find something within a 10-year period, you get to keep your title. But my God, if we find out that Mordecai Three-Fingered Brown was using a spitball in the 1910 World Series, my goodness, all of those people will pay. Like, it just doesn't seem like, well, you might be opening a huge can of worms. LeBron, I love him. I love this tweet, but give us a solution, too. Give us your opinion on that.